That's the mercy of God. God is still protecting an unrepentant man. He's still protecting him from being murdered. A murderer from being murdered. That's a merciful God. But we don't give God that credit. We don't see that. All we see when we think about Genesis, all that comes to our mind is God killing off humanity by a flood. That's what we think. We think about a flood coming and wiping off humanity. We don't think about the covenant God made, the promises God made, the rainbow. We don't think about none of that. All we think about is God doing away with mankind. And that's not right. There's a genealogy of Cain. I don't know about you, when I come to, like, a lot of times I have to watch myself. When I come to the genealogies in the Bible, you see all these names and you're like, oh man, you know, sometimes you kind of like breeze through it and you don't pay attention to the names. But the names are very important, because if the names made it to the Bible, it's there for a reason, and we can't disregard those names, and we have to pay attention to those names, because those names have meaning. Names, when we name our children, we give our child a name with a purpose, a name with intention, a name that's going to give him a direct him on the right path as he goes. And a name is very important in the Bible. And I want to go through the genealogy of the order of Cain. Because now this is a man that's lost his possession. This is a man that we spoke that last week, that he's a vagabond, that he's someone that is wander. He wanders about. He goes from place to place. He has no dwelling place. He lost his possession. He was worried about people killing him. This is a man that lost his inheritance, and when he knew his wife, he had children. His first child's name is Enoch. This word means to be, to initiate or to dedicate. That's what Enoch means. The second is Irad. Irad means to flee or to run or to flee. So his father's someone that wanders, and now his son, the first one means initiate or to dedicate. Second one's to running. So you got initiated and dedicated towards running, right? Then you have Mekuyal, I can't even say it. God forgive me, but it means smitten by God. It means smitten by God. And fourth is Metholosalel, God forgive me, who is of God. But the root word of this name means the extent of time. So the root word of this name means the extent of time. Methuselah. And it also means, there's two words together, strength of God. So it's the extent of time and the strength of God. The fifth son from his genealogy. Now these are all the firstborns of each and every son. It means powerful. And his son, his firstborn son, Jabal, means stream of water or a course of water. And then he had a brother, because Lamech took two wives. See, the fallen man's the first one to, with the line that goes in a different direction from the things of God, is the first one to take on two wives. The other son means stream, or to be carried along. And if you look at this, I'm not trying to make anything out of this. I was just kind of looking at it, and I thought it was very interesting. And I think it speaks a little bit prophetically to what's going to happen to this line. Enoch means initiated or dedicated. Next one, to flee or running, smitten by God, in the extent of time, by the strength of God, powerful streams of water, means of stream carried along. So you're going to be smitten by God by powerful streams of water. So I thought that was pretty powerful, because it's like God speaks prophetically through these names. And none of these names really have direction. None of these names really sets the kid on a right path. All these names seem to be what you would associate with the fallen man, or someone that is outside of the things of God. Verse 24 and 25, it says, Adam knows his wife, and she bears a son and calls his name Seth. Seth means to put or to be substituted. So Seth is is equivalent to a compensation. Compensation is something, is when something is given when you have suffering or loss. So Seth was put in place of Abel because Cain was put out. He lost his possession, and Seth was put in place of Abel. So Seth was a promise of what God promised in 3:14 prophetically about the seed that's going to be the seed that's going to stomp on the serpent's head. Now, through his line, we'll get into his line a little later. So here you have another seed being substituted in the place of Abel, who Cain slew, because God is faithful, and even members, and Eve remembers the promises of God in 3:15 about her seed and the seed, the devil. Verse 26, look what happens. Look what happens in verse 26. After Seth has a son, men begin to call out to God. For the first time in Genesis, you see men calling out to God. Before that, they weren't calling out to God. Seth has a kid. Now, men are calling out to God. But it's not just calling out to God. The language here expresses aggressively calling out to God with words of honor. That's what it means, to aggressively call out to God with words of honor. So now you have a seed in place to fulfill the promise. God has something in place to fulfill the promise, to bring forth the seed. That's that redemptive promise that we talked about through the line of Seth. So now we'll go into chapter 5. I felt like we had to touch on that a little bit before I started chapter 5. So chapter 5, this is the book of the generations of Adam and the day that God created man in the likeness of God. He made him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam. And the day when they were created, and Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness and after his own image and called his name Seth. And in the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 880 years. And he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. So that's, outside of Abel, that's the first death that's taken place because of the fallen man. And Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos. And Seth lived after he begot Enos 807 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Seth were 912 years, and he died. Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan, and Enos lived after, and he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters, and the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Methuselah, and Canaan lived after, he begot Mahalalel 840 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begot Jared 830 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begot Enoch. And Jared lived after he begot Enoch 800 years and begot sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived and had 5 years, lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God, and after he begot Methuselah 300 years, he begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. I want to stop right there. That's the first man that the language there says walked with God. In the garden, there was a place of paradise, a place of joy, a place of worship, a place where they were in the presence of the Lord, a place where they walked with God. And the Bible never says, this is one of the things that I want to highlight, when they were taken out of the garden, there's a misconception that God never walked with man afterwards. That's not true. God didn't walk with man in paradise. It's just that men didn't look to walk with God. It's a totally different thing. God was constantly looking for a man to have a relationship with, to be in communion with. God walked with man It's just that man wasn't interested in the things of God. And that's something we're going to talk about later on, because that's something God was highlighting to me. Before in worship, when I was talking to him, I said, you know, Heavenly Father, what is it that you want me to highlight tonight? What is it that you want me to express tonight? And this was what he wanted me to express tonight. There's something about Enoch and him walking with God. See, that word walk is a word that was used in the garden when, after Eve and Adam had sinned, when they sinned and they fell and their eyes were open, they put the fig leaves together, right? Because they realized they were naked. Then they heard the voice of God walking. They heard the voice of God walking and they hid. That word walk right there, it means to walk, but also means to be in continual conversation. It's like a constant, it's to be conversant. And so God was, what they heard was the demonstration of the Godhead, communing with himself. God is walking with himself, communing with himself. And this is the same word walk that is used with his relationship with Enoch. So Enoch was in constant, he lived his life after his first son. There's something there. Once he became a father, he began to walk with God. So Enoch lived his life, the remaining part of his life, in constant communication, constant relationship with God. And that's something that is very powerful, because it says that he was taken. He never tasted death. He was taken. And the thing that God wants us to know is, if you read in the New Testament, we'll jump to it later on, he wasn't taken without leaving a testimony. A lot of times as believers here, we think about, you know, oh, thank you, Jesus. We confess Christ as our Lord and Savior. And then we think about getting beamed up out of here. We want to go somewhere. You know, but the thing was, he was never taken without a testimony. A testimony is a witness. And a witness is not about what God has done in our lives, where he's taken us from. Yeah, that's powerful all on its own. But God wants a testimony after that. He wants a testimony that's a witness to people, that's evidence of his evidence of his life in you, of what he's doing now. God wants that to be impressed upon people. God wants when you leave, that your testimony about your walk with him is existent long after you're gone. Because right now we're talking about Enoch, a man that walked with God, and Enoch is long gone. And we're talking about his testimony right now because he walked with God. And they touch on it in the New Testament, where it speaks about, you know, he was a prophetic man. So when he walked with God, God showed him things to come. And it showed that through him, he had Methuselah. Methuselah had Jared. Jared had Noah. And through this line, through these people, there was something. These are the firstborn of every single one. So these are grandparents and grandchildren, great-grandchildren. But this is the firstborn of every single one. And there's something about these people, because these were all consecrated men unto the Lord. And these were the people. The last person Noah was another man, that the only man that talks about in the Bible, after Enoch in Genesis, that walked with God. So there was something that was taught there. There was something that was established there about walking with God, being in constant communication with God, being in constant relationship with God. And there was a testimony there that was established that we're still talking about today. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to establish a testimony in our lives. And we're not going anywhere until that testimony is established. I'm sorry, I kind of went off there, but felt necessary. So Enoch walked with God, and it was not for God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. And Methuselah lived, after he begot Lamech, 782 years and begot sons and daughters, and all the days of Methuselah were 960 years. In 9 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which had been cursed by the Lord. And Lamech, after he lived, begot Noah 590 Well, Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters. Notice all of these people are begetting sons and daughters. Everyone is there's a whole lot of people that are coming from the line of Seth that are out there, but only a few people get in that boat. It's a lot of people, a lot of families are coming out of this line. But only Noah and his children get in that boat. It's very interesting. It's very interesting. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth. I was looking at 500 years old, Noah had his first kid. I thought that was pretty powerful. Talk about waiting. But there must have been something that had taken place there with his father. There was something there with his father. His father, when he was born, he said something. When he's saying this, he's not just naming him, he's declaring. He's declaring this over his son. He's saying, Noah, which names means rest, this same shall comfort us concerning the work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord had cursed. So he's speaking prophetically and he's declaring something over his son. There's definitely something there. So, all right, I'm going to go back on a backtrack. That was one of the things I was worried about this week. All those names and genealogy is very, it's very tough for me to pronounce. So I'm glad I got over that fear with a little help. But verse 1 says that God created man and created man. The word there in Hebrew is bara. It means more than just to create. It means to select, to choose, and to dispatch. That's very similar to the Greek word that's used for apostolo. It's very, very similar. Select, to choose, and to dispatch. So he created, he's more than creating us. He's selecting us, and he's choosing us, and he's trying to dispatch us. This shows intention and purpose. When God chooses to create us and fashion us in resemblance of himself, it was with the intent to dispatch us to do some godlike stuff. We should never take original intention lightly. We have all the equipment. We have all the equipment. All God is looking for is for us to walk with him. To walk with him. We have the equipment. When we walk with him, that's when things can happen. That's when things could happen. Verse 3, Adam begets a son after his own image, which is the fallen man, which is very different from the way God intended. But in the fallen man, there is hope because of the promise of God. We're going to go into the genealogy of Seth. Seth means to put or to substitute. Comes from the root word appointed. Enos means mortal man. Cain means possession or possessor, also means to nest or dwell. So a lot of this is listen to the names, how they're different from the line of Cain. Mahael means praise of God. When we think about praise of God, who do we think? There's a language in all of these names. When we think about praising God, we think about loving God, but who do we think about when we praise God? I think about Jesus. So there's something that's pointed to Jesus. The Bible is always pointing towards Jesus. The Bible is always pointing there. Jared means a descent. It means to come down. Where did Jesus live? Where was his original dwelling? He came down. It also means ruling, coming down. Now, Enoch. Cain had a son named Enoch. It means dedicated or initiated. But there's a deeper meaning to the word Enoch. It means to begin or to admit someone into something, somewhere or group. But the root meaning of this name is to initiate or to discipline, to dedicate or to train up. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? He came with a message, right? He came choosing. He came selecting. He came teaching. He came training up. Those were disciples. This is language that's prophetically speaking of Jesus. Methuselah means man of dark. Man of dark means, is translated, man of branch. That's prophetic word speaking of Jesus all throughout Scripture when they talk about the branch. The branch, the shoot, is all prophetic speaking about Jesus. Lamech means powerful. Noah means rest. Rest comes from the root word, rest in place, from what? From the toil which man strives to preserve his own life. There was a toil that had taken place from the beginning after that, that man was seeking to preserve his own life. Man is seeking to preserve his own life. You see it today. Man is seeking to preserve his own life with his own toil, by his own hands, by his own power, by his own might. And he's losing that battle constantly. Daily we're losing. Daily we're losing. I go through this myself, and I have to regroup, and I have to think, and I have to come to God for that energy. And I have to say, hey, Lord, forgive me for trying to do this on my own. But you know what? That's what's different about the old man, and that's what's different about us now. We have a resting place. Matter of fact, the resting place we have is in Christ. We're in Christ. That's a resting place that I want to be in. These men didn't have this privilege, but through Noah, we received that comfort. Through Noah, we received that comfort because these were men that God used, patriarchs, that he used to bring forth his son. And I just think it's really powerful, and it speaks prophetically to God is constantly showing us his son in Scripture. And I'm not trying to make something out of nothing. I just think that this is not coincidental. It's not coincidental. I didn't make this up. I sat there. I didn't know what direction to go with this message because I knew it was a whole bunch of names, but I'm not going to skip over a bunch of chapters in the Bible because you're going to be missing something. They're there for a reason. There's something there, and this is what I'm trying to point to. This is what I feel like God is trying to put on my heart. It's always pointing towards Jesus, but God wants to give us the rest in his son. You know, man without God is always toiling to preserve his own life, and you know what? That man, his life is still preserved. That man is really a dead man walking, and he doesn't realize it. He's a dead man walking, and his life is still preserved by the breath of God, because that's the only thing that's allowing him to walk around is the breath of God that's still allowing and enabling him to walk around. And we have more than just that. We're born again, right? That's why we're born again. We have the life in us. We have God in us. We have the power in us. We're able to come to him and rest. That's why he says, all you who are wearied, all you who are burdened, everyone of you who are tired, just come to me and get that rest. So I just think it's real powerful, man. And I really wanted to touch on that a little bit because, you know, I think God is reminding us to just come to him. Just come to him. I know you don't do this on your own strength. You have me. Press into me, you have me. Let me refresh you. Come to you, all who are thirsty, all you are hungry. When we come to our Father who is in heaven, holy is your name. When we have the what was holy? Jesus came in the name of the Father. You know, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today this daily bread. That's more than just him being the bread of life. That's more than just him being the eternal word. That's us coming to him for provision. That's us coming to him relying upon him. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, our iniquities, as we forgive those who trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation. Let us not desire temptation. Let us not want that. Deliver us from that. He changes our desires. Let us not want evil. Deliver us from evil. You know, that prayer is powerful. Right? It's powerful. Your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven. Come on, it's just a real powerful thing, man. It's interesting because after Enoch, in verse 22, I'm sorry I'm jumping around. I get a little excited sometimes. Forgive me. Verse 22 speaks of Enoch. Let me go over here. It's a problem when you have a couple of different devices going. Okay, verse 22, you have Enoch living 65 years. This has to be the enemy. All right. You have Enoch living 65 years and never walked with God. What was What do you think took place? Because after he became a father, it says that he walked with God. I speak from experience knowing when I became a father to my son, what that did to me. It demonstrated, I recognized, not that I could fully grasp it, but I recognized the Father's love. I recognized that for the first time in my life, I cared about, truly about something more than myself. And I knew that in order for me to be a good father, in order for me to be able to provide and do everything that I need to do for this child, I needed God. I need God. And there was a reality before that, but once you become a father, it's different. And after this man became a father, it says that he walked with God 300 years. 300 years. This is the same word I told you before used in Genesis. It talks about a continual conversation going on, a constant communication going on. Why is this important? This was the scripture that was highlighted to me earlier today. Why is this important? I'm going to go to Amos 3 verses 3. There's a very good question. You don't have to turn it. You could turn to it later. But Amos 3 verses 3 says, can two walk together unless they be agreed? Can two walk together unless they be agreed? See, you can't. You can't. That, you know the answer to that right away. Can two live together? Can two be in constant communication? This is something for husbands and wives too. Can two be in constant communication? Can two live together? Can two walk together unless they're in constant agreement with each other? The Godhead is in constant agreement with each other. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is all yes with each other. Yes and amen with each other. And these men walked with God in constant agreement. That highlights His will be done in their life. And when His will is done in our lives, that's when we have a testimony in our lives, because we allowed His will to dominate our own desires. Our own desires will leave us right into the, to dust we will return. Right to the grave. Our own desires, our own will, our own things are set on the man's heart is set on wicked and evil things constantly. Outside of God, the heart is deceitfully wicked. It's just true. It's what it is. We know what it was before we were introduced to Jesus. The heart outside of God is always desiring things that are not good. And if we're in constant agreement with God, if we say yes and we're agreed with Him, there's things that are going to take place in our lives that are going to be evidence to the world around me that He is real, that He is alive, that is not just words, is going to be demonstrated by power, is going to be demonstrated by might, because our God is a powerful God. Our God is a God that will manifest Himself through instances, through circumstances. And it's more than just words. It's just He shows, is evident. He's there, that He exists, that He's real. And He's looking for people to work, to walk with Him, to manifest Himself. Hebrews 11:5 shows that Enoch was a man of faith, and by faith he was transferred to heaven. This means to change sides. That word transfer means to change side. Translated means transferred. It means to change sides. It says that he pleased God, but before he was taken, he had a testimony. That's what I was talking about earlier. Before he was taken anywhere, he had a testimony. And that's why I was saying with us with Christians today, that it's a problem, because we want to be transferred, we want to be taken without a testimony. And that's not right. We have to look to the patriarchs in the Bible and see a man like Enoch that never tasted death because of the integrity of his life, because he walked constantly with God and God took him, but he was never taken without a testimony. Jude 1 verses 14 and 15 reads how he prophesied of the Lord's coming. Verse 15, it was revealed to him that God is going to come to execute judgment upon all and to convince. Convince is not convince. God is not here to convince us about anything. That word means to convict fully. We're going to be convinced, all right, but God is coming to convict fully all that are ungodly. That means the wickedness, lack in respect among them of all their ungodly things and all the things they have committed and all their hard speeches which were ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So God is coming to judge the people on all the things that they do. And this was something that was spoken and prophesied. And this is in the New Testament. So the Bible interprets the Bible. So the Bible in the New Testament is confirming the things of old. And that's why we love the Bible. That's why we read the Bible. And that's why the Bible doesn't contradict. And the Bible is constantly defining itself. And we thank God for the Holy Spirit that's revealing this to us constantly. Verse 29. Lamech calls out the name of his son Noah, which means rest, declaring prophetically, through Noah, God will bring rest and comfort to men concerning work and the toil of their hands because the ground the Lord had cursed. Sometimes we got to call out prophetically and declare things over our children. Sometimes we got to call out and declare things prophetically over each other. Where there's power in the words that we speak. There's power in the words that we speak. And Noah didn't have children until he was 500 years old. Do you think Lamech was speaking life into him for 500 years? I think so. Do you think he was speaking life and truth into him and directing him and giving him motivation and telling him who he was intended to be, telling him what he's going to do, and then, you know, what happens? I guarantee you that led Noah in the direction that he went to where the Bible says he walked with God, that he had a relationship with God because he had some identities from the very beginning of who he was because his father declared who he was going to be from the very beginning. I'm going to go to Genesis 6. There's a few things I'm going to talk about, but I don't want to get too far into it because I feel like there's something that Pastor Adam has to come and speak about concerning the ark and the flood and things like that, and I don't want to go past it, so I'm going to be sensitive to that, and I'm going to give him the opportunity when he comes to, I believe there's something that he has to bring to the table with this. So I'm just going to go with that. But I want to touch on a couple of things. All right, Genesis 6. And it came to pass when men began to multiply on earth, on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, and the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were fair. So these are, as men are, you know, as mankind is beginning to increase, you have the angels in heaven looking down on women saying that they look pretty good and they're desiring them. So you have the angels have their original intent as well. It's like we had our original intent. They have their original space. So now angels are looking down upon man, desiring the daughters of men and wanting to leave their original place that God put them. And God put them there for a reason. So now they're looking to come down. And actually here it says that they did come down and took them as wives, which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive. That word strive means to contend. That means to wrestle. My spirit's not going to always wrestle with man. My spirit's not going to always, God is very patient, but his spirit is not always going to wrestle with man. So here he says, for that, he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. So now, before God brings judgment, God always gives a time for repentance, a time that people could come to him, a time, and that's where the Bible interprets the Bible. And when the Bible speaks of Noah and Peter, I believe it's 2 Peter, it speaks of him as a righteous preacher. So that whole time he's building an ark, he's preaching. He's preaching. And if he's a righteous preacher, he's preaching about the goodness of God. And what does the Bible say? It's the goodness of God that leads people to repentance. The guy preached for 100 years while he's making this boat. And no one but his own family got into the boat. Now, sometimes we get worried about, you know, lack of church attendance. But this man preached for 100 plus years and had 8 people that got in the boat. There were giants in the earth on those days. That word giant It also means bully or tyrant. So it can mean giant, but it also means bully, to be a bully or a tyrant. So there was bullies, there's bullies and tyrants here today. In those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. So that means these children that they were having were like men that became famous, men that were known because they were like hybrids of heaven and earth. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination, so every frame of thought, and every thought of his heart was only on evil continually. And this is what I want to touch on. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved his heart. That word repented, it means to change your mind, but it also means other things. God doesn't change his mind. When God created man, he created man and he said it was good. He said this was good. If it's, you know, it's, God was sorry. God was grieved in his heart. It hurt God. The Bible says that God suffered long. It suffered and it hurt him to the middle, to his heart, to his core, to see the direction that man went. Because man went their own way and they didn't go the way that he intended. They didn't go the way that he desired. And they went their own way and it hurt him. And he had this man preaching righteousness. He had this man speaking life, telling them, trying to reconcile them back to the Father. But the whole time, men just went and did what they wanted to do. And it says continually, day and night, in their mind, everything they thought was self-gain, everything they thought was evil, every desire, everything they did was bad. And they repented God. He felt sorry. He felt compassion. This is where I'm gonna kind of like stop like right here, because I'm gonna let Adam come in, Pastor Adam come in, and it's a problem when you're good friends with your pastor. Pastor Adam, I'm gonna have him come in. You have to give him his honor. Pastor Adam, come in and take over the next week when we meet. But there's something that God doesn't change his mind, and the only reason. Why that had to happen, it was the protection of Noah's family. God knew that if he didn't build this ark, the preservation of that seed would not live. He knew that the world was so wicked and the world was so evil and the world has gone so far away from the things of God that Noah's life was in jeopardy, his children's life was in jeopardy, and at the proper time, at the right time, at the appointed time, the time that he knew best, he brought judgment. But in that time, he protected them, he watched over them, he allowed that ark to be built, and it says by water they were saved. That's what the Bible says. It says by water they were saved. So he protected them, and by water they were saved. But people misinterpret the Bible and they think that by water God killed everybody. They don't look at that by water he saved these people. That we're only here now because of what God did. Right now, we're only here now because of what God did. Because God chose to preserve the human race through these people, and these people, remember, through all that line, that lineage of the firstborn, they had brothers and sisters. Noah had brothers and sisters. Noah had cousins. There was so much extended family. No one got on that boat. No one listened to the preacher of righteousness. No one took heed to the words that he was saying until it was too late. And when you read, they thought he was a joke. Rain never fell down. They thought he was a joke. And when you, I'm not going to spoil some things that I know Pastor Adam's going to talk about next week, but I'm just going to camp out there. If you want to read a little bit more about the New Testament, about things spoken about Noah, it's 1 Peter 3 verses 20 and 2 Peter 2 verses 5. You can read that on your own. But it really shows that the heart of God in this matter. God was long-suffering through all of this. And the only reason why God did what he did was to preserve the seed, to protect Noah and his family, to protect the future of the human race, and to protect what he created. Because the world chose their own way, and their way led to death. And they were already dead men walking.